Text 46.
यह कारणार्णव जले भजति स्म योग निद्रामनंत जगदंड सरोम कूपः आधार शक्तिमवलंब्य परां स्वमूर्तिं गोविंदमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. Purport. The presiding deities of Haridam, they are Hari, Narayan, Vishnu, etc., the subjective portions of Krishna, are being described. The majestic manifestation of Krishna is Narayan, Lord of Vaikuntha, whose subjective portion is Karanadakshai Vishnu, the prime cause, whose portion is Garbhodakshai. Shirodakshai is again the subjective portion of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. The word Vishnu indicates all-pervading, omnipresent, and omniscient personality. In this shloka, the activities of the subjective portions of the divinity are enunciated by the specification of the nature of Shirodakshai Vishnu. The personality of Vishnu, the embodied form of the mundane quality, sattvaguna, is quite distinct from that of Shambhu, who is adulterated with mundane qualities. Vishnu's subjective personality is on a level with that of Govinda. Both consist of the unadulterated substantive principle. Vishnu, in the form of the manifest causal principle, is identical with Govinda as regards quality. The manifest of quality or sattvaguna that is found to exist in the triple mundane quality is an adulterated entity, being alloyed with the qualities of mundane activity and inertia. Brahma is the dislocated portion of the divinity, manifested in the principle of mundane action, endowed with the functional nature of his subjective portion. And Shambhu is the dislocated portion of the divinity, manifested in the principle of mundane inertia, possessing similarly the functional nature of his subjective portion. The reason for their being dislocated portions is that the two principles of mundane action and inertia, being altogether wanting in the spiritual essence, any entities that are manifest in them, are located at a great distance from the divinity himself, or his facsimiles. Although the mundane manifest of quality is of the adulterated kind, Vishnu, the manifestation of the divinity in the mundane manifest of quality, makes his appearance in the unadulterated manifest of principle, which is a constituent of the mundane manifest of quality. Hence, Vishnu is the full subjective portion and belongs to the category of superior Isvaras. He is the Lord of the deluding potency and not alloyed with her. Vishnu is the agent of Govinda's own subjective nature in the form of the prime cause. All the majestic attributes of Govinda, aggregating 60 in number, are fully present in his majestic manifestation, Narayan. Brahma and Shiva are entities adulterated with mundane qualities. Though Vishnu is also divine appearance in mundane quality, a guna avatar, still he is not adulterated. The appearance of Narayan in the form of Mahavishnu, the appearance of Mahavishnu in the form of Garbhodakshai, and the appearance of Vishnu in the form of Kshirodakshai, are examples of this ubiquitous function of the divinity. Vishnu is Godhead himself, and the two other guna avatars, and all other gods, are entities possessing authority in subordination to him. From the subjective majestic manifestation of the Supreme Self luminous Govinda emanate Karnadakshai, Garbhodakshai, Shirodakshai, and all other derivative subjective divine descents, avatars, such as Ram, etc. Analogous to communicated light appearing in different candles, shining by the operation of the spiritual potency of Govinda. Text 47.
Yah karanarnava jale bhajati smayoga nidramananta jagadanda saromakupaha aadhar shaktim avalambya param swamurtim Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Sesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency, and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoga Nidra. Purport. The subjective nature of Ananta, who has the form of the couch of Mahavishnu, is described. Ananta, the same who is the infinite couch on which Mahavishnu reposes, is a distinctive appearance of the divinity bearing the name of Sesha, having the subjective nature of the servant of Krishna. Text 48.
Yasya ikanishvasita kala mathavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nathaha Vishnur mahansaiha yasya kala vishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Brahma and the other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord, Govinda, whose subjective personality, Mahavishnu, is the portion of a portion. Purport. The supreme majesty of the subjective nature of Vishnu is shown here. Text 49.
Basvan yathashma shakaleshu nijeshu tejaha Sviyam kiyat prakatayatyapi tadvadatra Brahmaya esha jagadanda vidhana karta Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakanta, etc. Purport. Brahma is two types. In certain kalpas, when the potency of the Supreme Lord infuses himself in an eligible jiva, the latter acts in the office of Brahma and creates the universe. In those kalpas, when no eligible jiva is available, after the Brahma of the previous kalpa is liberated, Krishna, by the process of allotment with his own potency, creates the Brahma who has the nature of the avatar, or descent of the divinity, in the act of mundane principle, Rajaguna. By principle, Brahma is superior to ordinary jivas, but is not the direct divinity. The divine nature is present in a greater measure in Shambhu than in Brahma. The fundamental significance of the above is that the aggregate of 50 attributes belonging to the jiva are present in a fuller measure in Brahma, who possesses, in a lesser degree, 5 more attributes, which are not found in jivas. But in Shambhu, both the 50 attributes of jivas, as also the 5 additional attributes found in Brahma, are present, in even greater measure than in Brahma. Text 50.
Yatpada pallava yugam vinidhaya kumbha dvandve pranama samaye sa ganadhirajaha vignan vihantum alamasya jagatrayasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesh upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head, in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the 3 worlds. Purport. The power of destroying all obstacles to mundane prosperity has been delegated to Ganesh, who the object of worship. Purport. The power of destroying all obstacles to mundane prosperity has been delegated to Ganesh, who is the object of worship to those who are eligible to worship him. He has obtained a rank among the 5 gods as Brahma possessing mundane quality. The self-same Ganesh is a god in possession of delegated power by infusion of the divine power. All his glory rests entirely on the grace of Govinda. Text 51.
Agnir mahi gaganam ambu maruddishascha kalas tathatma manasiti jagatrayani yasmad bhavanti vibhavanti vishanti yamcha Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
The 3 worlds are composed of the 9 elements: fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. Purport. There is nothing in the 3 worlds save the 5 elements, 10 quarters, time, jiva soul, and the mental principle allied with the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego of conditioned souls. The elevationists, or karmis, make their offerings and sacrifice in the fire. Conditioned souls know nothing beyond this perceptible world of 9 elements. The jiva is the self-same soul whose ecstatic delight the joyless liberationists, or jnanis, aspire after. Both the principles that are respectively depicted as Atma and Prakriti by the system of Sankhya are included in the above. In other words, all the principles that have been enunciated by all the speculative philosophers, or tattvavadis, are included in these 9 elements. Sri Govinda is the source of the appearance, continuance, and subsistence of all these principles. Text 52.
Yachakshuresha savita sakalagrahanam raja samasta sura murti rashesha tejaha Yasyagnaya bhramati samrita kala chakro Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
The sun, who is the king of all planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. Purport. Certain professors of the Vedic religion worship the sun as Brahman. The sun is one of the hierarchy of the five gods. Some people target in heat the source of this world, and therefore designate the sun, the only location of heat, as the root cause of this world. Notwithstanding all that may be said to the contrary, the sun is, after all, only the presiding deity of a sphere of the sum total of all mundane heat, and is hence a god exercising delegated authority. The sun performs his specific function of service, certainly by the command of Govinda. Text 53.
Dharmotha papa nichaya shrutayasta pamsi Brahmadi kita patagavadayascha jivaha Yaddatta matra vibhava prakata prabhava Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord, Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. Purport. By Dharma is meant the allotted functions of Varna and Ashram, manifested by the 20 Dharma Shastras on the authority of the Vedas. Of these two divisions, Varna Dharma is that function which is the outcome of the distinctive natures of the four Varnas, that are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. And Ashram Dharma is that function which is appropriate to the respective ashrams, or stations of those who belong to the four stages, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and sannyas. All the customary activities of mankind have been targeted in these twofold divisions. Sins mean nescience, the root of all sins and sinful desire, also the greatest iniquities and sins flowing from them, and the ordinary sins, in other words, all sorts of unprincipled conduct. The category of the Shrutis means Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, and the Upanishads, which form the crest jewel of the Veda. The Tapas mean all regular practices that are learnt with the view of attainment of proper function of the self. In many cases, such as in the form known as Panchatapas, these practices are of difficult nature, yoga, with its eight constituent limbs, and devotedness to the knowledge of the undifferentiated Brahman included therein. All these are so many distinctive features within the revolving round of the fruitive activities of conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are embarked on a sojourn of successive births from 84 lakhs of varieties of generating organs. They are differentiated into different orders of beings, as Devas, Danavas, Rakshasas, Manavas, Nagas, Kinaras, and Gandharvas. These Jivas, from Brahma down to the small insect, are infinite in type. They make up the aggregate of the conditioned souls, from the degree of Brahma to that of the little fly, and are the distinctive features within the revolving wheel of karma. Every one of them is endowed with distinctive powers as individuals and is powerful in a particular sphere. But these powers are by their nature not fully developed in them. The degree of power and nature of property vary according to the measure of manifestation of the possessions of the individual conferred upon him by Sri Govinda. The degree of power and nature of property vary according to the measure of manifestation of the possession of the individual conferred upon him by Sri Govinda. Text 54.
Yastvendra Gopamathavendra Mahosvakarma Bandhanurupa Falabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kinto Chabhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord, Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion, and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk on the path of work, in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works. No less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than in that of Indra, the king of devas. Purport. God impartially induces the fallen souls to act in a way that is consequent on the deeds of their previous births and to enjoy the fruition of all their labors. But out of his great mercy to his devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma, that is, nescience and evil desires. Karma, though without a beginning, is still perishable. The karma of those who work with the hope of enjoying the fruits of their labors becomes everlasting and endless and is never destroyed. The function of sannyas is also a sort of karma, befitting an ashram, and is not pleasant to Krishna when it aims at liberation or the desire for emancipation. They also receive fruition of their karma, and even if it be disinterested, their karma ends in atma mamata, in other words, self-pleasure. But those who are pure devotees always serve Krishna by gratifying his senses, forsaking all attempts of karma and gyan, and being freed from all desires, save that of serving Krishna. Krishna has fully destroyed the karma, its desires, and nescience of those devotees. It is a great wonder that Krishna, being impartial, is fully partial to his devotees. Text 55.
Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintya tasya sadrishim tanuma purete govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. Purport. Devotion is of two kinds. One, of the nature of deference to regulation, and two, constituted of natural feeling. Bhakti is roused by following with a tinge of faith in the rule of Shastra and the instructions of the preceptors. Such bhakti is of the nature of loyalty to the scriptural regulations. It continues to be operative as long as the corresponding natural feeling is not aroused. If a person loves Krishna out of a natural tendency, there is the principle of raga, which is no other than a strong desire to serve, which turns into bhava, or substantive feeling. When the substantive feeling is aroused, the devotee becomes an object of mercy of Krishna. It takes much time to attain this stage. Devotion, which is of the nature of feeling, is superior to that connected with scriptural regulation, soon attains to the realized state, and is attractive to Krishna. Its various aspects are described in this shloka. Shantabhava, or full of reference to the superior. Dasyabhava, full of service for carrying out the commands of the object of worship. Sakyabhava, or natural friendly love. Vatsalyabhava, parental affection. And Madhuryabhava, or amorous love, are all included in the category of devotion of the nature of instinctive attachment. But anger, fear, and delusion, though they are of the nature of instinctive impulse, are not devotion in the strict sense of the term, because they are not friendly, but hostile to the object. Anger is found in asuras, like Shishupal. Fear in Kamsa, and delusion in the pundits of the pantheistic school. They have the feelings of anger, fear, and instinctive impulse, marked by complete self-forgetful identification with the non-differentiated Brahman. But as there is no friendly feeling toward the object of devotion, there is no bhakti. Again, among the feelings of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Shanta, though indifferent and dormant in raga, is still reckoned as bhakti on account of its being a little friendly. There is an immense volume of raga and the other four varieties of emotion. By the promise of Gita, yayatha mam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham, 4:11, I serve one according to his submission. Those who allow themselves to be actuated by the sentiment of fear, anger, and delusion attain to sahujya mukti, merging into the absolute. The shantas attain bodily forms with aptitude for addiction to Brahman and Paramatma. The dasya and sakya classes of worshippers attain bodily forms characterized by masculine and feminine disposition according to their respective grades of eligibility. The Vatsalya class of worshippers get bodily forms befitting fatherly and motherly sentiments. The amorous lovers of Krishna attain the pure forms of gopis, spiritual milkmaids of Braj. Text 56.
Shriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo druma bhumischinta mani ganamai toyam amritam kathaganam natyam gamanam api vamshi priyasakhi chidanandam jyoti param api tada swadyam api cha Sayatra kshirabdi sravati surabhibhyascha sumahan Nimeshar dhakyo vavrajati nahi yatrapi samayah Vajeshveta dvipam tamaham iha golokamitiyam Vidantaste santakshiti viralacharakatipaye Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I worship that transcendental seat known as Svetadvip, where, as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree. Where the soil is the purpose gem. All water is nectar. Every word is a song. Every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Purport. That region which jivas attain by the best performance of their rasa bhajan, though purely transcendental, is by no means devoid of variegatedness. The non-differentiated region is attained by indulging in anger, fear, and delusion. The devotees attain Goloka, the transcendental region above Vaikuntha, according to the quality of rasa of the respective services. In reality, that region is no other than Svetadvip, or the White Island, being exceedingly pure. Those who attain the highest rasa in the shape of realization of pure devotion in this world, viewing the reality of Svetadvip in Gokul, Vrindavan, and Navadvip within this mundane world, designate the same as Goloka. In that transcendental region of Goloka, there are always visible, in their supreme beauty, all the distinctive entities that are incorporated in the pure cognitive principle. They are the lover and his beloved ones, trees and creepers, mountains, rivers and forests, water, speech, movement, music of the flute, the sun and the moon, tasted and taste, in other words, the thinkable wonders of the 64 aesthetic arts, milk cows yielding nectarian flow of milk, and transcendental ever-existing time. Descriptions that supply a clue to Goloka are found in various places in the Vedas and the other Shastras, such as the Puranas, Tantras, etc. The Chandogya says, Bruhyadyavan va ayam akasas, tavan esha anta rida akasha, ube asmin vaiha prithvi, antar eva samahite, ubava agnis chavayuscha, surya chandra masyaf yubau, vidyun nakshatrani yachcha se, asti yachcha nasti sarvam, tad asmin samahitam iti. The sum and substance of it is that all the variegatedness of this mundane world, and much more variety, over and above the mundane, are to be found in Goloka. The variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas in the mundane world it is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. The centralized variety in Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. The Vedas and sadhus, practicing devotion revealed by the Vedas, by availing the support of their individual cognitutional aptitude actuated by devotion, may have a sight of that divine realm. And by the power and grace of Krishna, their tiny cognitive faculty attaining the quality of infinitude, they are enabled to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. There is a hidden meaning in the proposition, even the supreme, that is also nevertheless the object of enjoyment. Param api tad asvadhyam api cha. The word param api indicates that Sri Krishna is the only truth absolute in all the transcendental blissful principles. And tad asvadhyam api means his object of enjoyment. The glory of Radha's love for Krishna, the tasty quality or rasa of Krishna that is realized by Radha, and the bliss of which Radha is conscious in the process of such realization. All these threefold bhavas, or emotional entities, become available for enjoyment by Krishna. He attains the personality of Sri Gaurasundara. It is also this that constitutes the transcendental bliss of the delicious, loving rasa service manifested by Sri Gaurasundara. This also eternally exists only in the self-same Swetadvipa.